Well, today is a very special day because Robbie Higginbottom is going to be ordained here in just a few moments. Robbie was one of the very first youth interns that I had the privilege of extending an invitation to come and serve at PCPC. Robbie was working at Providence Christian School of Texas. He was a wonderful teacher over there, beginning to sense that the Lord was calling him to do something else. I heard about this man, this young man, and the many gifts that he had in terms of teaching, but also in playing a guitar and writing music and leading people in worship. And so we met together. Do you remember where we met?
Pechugo,
that's right. And we delighted over ice cream for maybe a couple of hours. And there I encouraged him to begin to pray, might the Lord be calling him to serve at PCPC. His two-year internship was over very quickly. We realized the gifts that the Lord had given him, and were eager for him to stay, and he has stayed. And then he moved on from working primarily with the youth ministry into our college ministry, which is what he is going to continue to do. Though his job is not going to change at our church, he is now being ordained. The blessing of having this wonderful seminary in our backyard, Redeemer Theological Seminary, is that men can attend while continuing to serve here. And that is what's happened. And now our brother comes this day before God and this company to be ordained for gospel ministry. You'll note what that looks like in the bulletin. The first thing that happens is there will be scripture read. Then I will give a very brief charge to Robbie, but it's a sermon to all of us and one we need to hear. And in God's providence, where we are in the Gospel of John lands us in the most amazing place to talk about what it means to be a minister of the gospel. To read the passage for us this morning, you'll see in the bulletin it says John Hawkins. And it's true. It is Mr. John Hawkins. But it is a different John Hawkins. It's not our elder John Hawkins, but a dear, dear friend that Robbie met when he went to attend Duke University, who became a very important mentor and brother and father in his life and the faith. So I'm going to invite our dear brother John Hawkins, if he would come and read the passage that I will preach from as we move forward with the ordination of Robert Higginbottom. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word?
Us. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing, unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father in heaven, your word has been read. We come eager to hear, to be encouraged, to even be transformed by the work of your Holy Spirit. Enable that to happen, Holy Spirit, even now. Open our eyes to see, our mind to think, our hearts to feel, our ears to hear, that we might indeed be made different even in these few moments together. All for your glory's sake, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Robbie and Ann, on this very, very special day, a day that will mark your life in many ways moving forward. I want to draw your attention into this text and all of our attention to one word. And then I want to unpack just a few verses that are so deeply connected to this one word. And the word I want to focus on is in verse 26. It says, "And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him.'" The word I want us to focus on for a moment is the word look. Look. As one who is a believer in Jesus Christ, as one who is called because we believe in the priesthood of all believers, we are all ministers of the gospel. That call, that word look, is essential. And yet, if you look at what's happened, it's John's disciples. His disciples. John the Baptist had many, many disciples. He was popular. Many people were following him. Many people were being baptized in him. It's his disciples that tempt him to look at the wrong thing. It's his disciples that tempt him to look at almost the right thing, which is Jesus, but not really. Do you see what's happened? His disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, not just followers of John the Baptist, the ones who really believed the message that he had from the beginning. And what was that message? There's one who's coming. Behold, the Lamb of God. There's one who's coming. But as they watched the popularity of Jesus soar, as they watched people moving past John the Baptist, choosing to be baptized by Jesus, what did the disciples say to John? Look, the one that you pointed out to us, the people are now passing us by or passing you by, and they're going to be baptized by him. Do you see how close they were in having John look at Jesus? But they really weren't asking John to look at Jesus. They were asking John to look at people. And Robbie, that temptation is so great. As one called to be in ordained gospel ministry, people want you to look at them. And people want you to look at other people. And one of the great distractions for a minister of the gospel is indeed the people that God's called him to shepherd. It's a very dangerous thing. Because you're called to care about the people. And the people are called to care about one another. Yet it's people that can be the great distraction. Why? Because people with unintended consequences will say things to you that take your eyes off of Jesus, off of looking at Jesus. I mean, can you imagine what John in his humanity might have felt? I mean, I know I was born for this task. I know that I was told this is going to be my task. And all these people have been following me. And now that Jesus is really here and his ministry is unfolding and people are starting to go towards him, it could be challenging. I don't know how many of you know the name Frederick Brotherton Meyer. But as a young minister in London, he would stand on the steps of his church and he would watch carriage after carriage after carriage go by his church. Where were they going? To the Metropolitan Tabernacle where Charles Haddon Spurgeon would preach. What do you think the people said to F.B. Meyer when they came up the steps into his church? I don't know. He went on to be very famous, wrote many books, was a great encouragement to the church, but he wasn't Charles Spurgeon. D.L. Moody invited him to cross the Atlantic to come here and to preach in Chicago. This is near the end of his age. And as he was preaching, only a few people came. And in the evening, another man preached, G. Campbell Morgan, and crowds flooded. And in his flesh, F.B. Meyer went to his room very sad. But then in repentance, he confessed in thanksgiving for the gifts that God had given this other man. And he was heard to be saying constantly, "Have you heard Campbell preach? Oh my, God is upon that man." Robbie and all of us, none of us have all the gifts. Only one had all the gifts. His name is Jesus. But Robbie, people that you lead will want you to have all the gifts, and they'll tell you when you don't. And you probably know that already, and that won't be the dangerous part. They'll tell you when you do. They'll tell you what a gifted songwriter you are, how much of a good writer you are, not just with songs, but all types of print and narrative. They'll admire your teaching. They'll say all kinds of things about you. And the temptation will be for you to look to them to give you that praise, to give you that honor. And when it doesn't come, you'll be tempted to look for something other than what John points to here. What does John say to them? When his disciples who love him, who are, I think, concerned about his own sense of meaning and understanding, what's the first thing John says to them? This is the secret. John says, every gift. He says in verse 27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Every gift comes from heaven. Now, guys, ladies, men, women, children, we don't believe that's true. We don't. We say we believe it's true, but do you really pause daily and go, everything, everything? What is everything? Answer me. What is everything? Everything is everything. Do you really believe that everything, that no one receives a thing, not even one thing, unless it is given him from heaven? Do you really believe that? Well, here's what that means. That means your spiritual gifts were given to you from heaven. But not just your spiritual gifts, the ability to exercise those gifts. If you're a preacher or someone who writes, or someone who is an evangelist, or someone who serves, even the desire to do that with excellence is a gift from God. Even an insight that you might have as someone who teaches the Bible is a gift from God, not just the gift of teaching. Every penny, not just some of the pennies, every penny that you have worked hard to earn is a gift from God. Everything. Do you believe that? You see, this is the secret. John the Baptist really does. There is nothing, he says, not even one thing a person can receive unless it is given him from heaven. What is John calling us to meditate on there? The sovereignty of God. You see, God does not gift his people equally. Even some who have great gifts of exposition and teaching never serve in large churches. God doesn't gift people equally. He doesn't call people to the same sense of blessings. But the giver of the gifts is always the same. John understands that. And that's what we must look to as well. And when we do, something happens. The beginning of ourselves decreasing and Christ increasing becomes a reality. So, Robbie, look. Look at everything, everything as a gift that comes from God. But let me make sure you understand one thing. That sovereign God also gives us the gifts of limitations. There are some things, Robbie, that you're never going to be good at. And you are good at many. There are some things that no matter how hard you try, God has not given you the gift for that. And that's okay, because he's given that gift to someone else. That's fine. It's beautiful, actually. And so remember, every gift comes from above. Second thing, Robbie, remember this, and you know this well, but it's something we must be reminded of constantly. John the Baptist understood the essential thing. What was it? He's not Jesus. He says it very clearly. I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. Robbie, you know you're not the Christ. You all know you're not the Christ. You know I'm not the Christ. You know I'm not the head of this church. Jesus is the head of his church. He's the head. You are not Christ. And that means many things. But one thing it means is this. You were not meant to carry what only Jesus can carry. Wherever the Lord calls you, whether it's to be in this church for your whole life serving him, or if he leads you other places, You'll be tempted to carry what only Christ can carry. You'll be tempted to be Christ, and you can't. You must always point people to the one who is Jesus, the only Jesus. Look constantly to him. Third thing I want to say, Robbie, this passage, I ask to stop at verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Well, the title of the sermon is that, because that's the proposition. If we live this way, people, so much will take care of itself. He must increase. I must decrease. But here is where Satan is so tricky. I want everybody to listen. The temptation is to see the profound humility of John the Baptist and say, I want to be like John. I want to have the kind of humility John had. And why wouldn't we? Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, and again in Luke, he said, of men that have been born of women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. Could Jesus have given a stronger, encouraging word? No one's greater than John the Baptist. Why wouldn't we say, I want to be like him? But John the Baptist is not the hero of this passage. Jesus is. And Jesus is the hero of every passage. And though John is a worthy man to emulate and seek to follow, this is where Satan's so tricky. Satan would love for you to focus on John the Baptist. In fact, Satan would love for you to focus on decreasing. Because if you do focus on decreasing, or if you focus on a man like John the Baptist, your eyes are not looking to Jesus. So how can this passage become a reality in our lives? He must increase, but I must decrease. It actually goes back to that word. Look. Look at Jesus. Look at the glory of the Son of God. Look at the glory of the Son of God prophesied about for centuries. Look at the glory of the Son of God born into a manger. Look at the glory of the Son of God becoming man, walking up on this earth. Look at the glory and beauty of the Son of God as he engages people and heals them and teaches them. Look at the glory of the Son of God on the cross at Golgotha. Listen to the glory of the Son of God as he shouts out, it is finished. Look at the glory of the Son of God when the tomb is open and he's not there. Look at the glory of the Son of God as he's walking along the road to Emmaus. Look at the glory of the Son of God as the disciples must have seen him as he ascended into heaven. Anticipate the glory of the Son of God as he returns. And look at the glory of God in the church, including this church, where he is the head. You see, the more we look at Jesus, the more we understand there's more to see. Though you've been to seminary now and you've been teaching the Bible for a long time, though some of you have been in this church from the beginning and churches before this one, there's so much more to see about Jesus. So much more that Jesus will for all eternity be ever increasing in our hearts and minds. Because it will be an eternity of just basking in his glory. There's more to see. But there's something else. There's more room for Christ in us and in this place to love him more and more. Robbie, Ann, Mark, all of us, the way Jesus increases in us is by looking at Jesus, not looking at self and trying to decrease, but in looking at Christ. The way you point people to Jesus, Robbie, with all of their problems and all their pain, is look at Jesus. Look. But one more time, the danger is for people to look close to Jesus, but not just at Jesus. To look at people who say they love Jesus, and to even look at yourself who says, I love Jesus, but not Jesus. Robbie and Ann, all of us, give much time to looking at Jesus. In prayer, in meditation, and in the Word. And here's what you discover. He begins to increase. And you know what happens? When you look to see Jesus, you see that He's looking at you. His face is shining upon you. Hallelujah. Oh, to see that face. One day we will.